This is the Capital City Recap with Michael Cohen on More Compelling Talk Radio, 1320 WILS.
6:31, it is Friday, 33 at the moment. It did snow, but everything stopped now. A little snow on the ground. Great to have you on WILS. The Governor Snyder today coming out and saying he opposes the new plan, the new GOP health care plan, but how is the medical community likely to react, and does it really get to the core of our problems? Dr. Lawrence Schlachter is with us, a board-certified neurosurgeon, spent years working at Emory Hospital in Atlanta, where he was the on-call doctor during presidential visits. He's now an attorney and author of the book Malpractice, A Neurosurgeon Reveals How Our Healthcare System Puts Patients at Risk. Dr. Schlachter, great to have you on WILS.
Thank you, Michael. My pleasure.
I know the story. We talked before. You actually injured your hand and you couldn't continue your career, right?
Right. I got hit by a baseball that was lying back at the pitcher's mound when I was playing the hardball. And it broke my hand pretty badly, so I had to stop operating.
How long ago was that?
Well, I was 52 years old, which was 16 years ago.
So this is long before Obamacare. So when you're watching Obamacare come down the pipe, well, you were an attorney by that point, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, what was your initial thought on what it was going to do to our medical system?
Well, I was actually encouraged that it was going to cover many more people who were uninsured. And, you know, if you read Stephen Brill's books about all the accommodations that had to be made to the drug companies and the medical device makers. In retrospect, you could see how it was economically going to be difficult for it to work out. Mm-hmm. But the goal of it to cover more people, I think, was noble and good.
Okay. So ultimately, your view on Obamacare is what? Is this a system that could work long term?
I think it is. Actually, I think what we're doing now is we're sort of trading, you know, six bad eggs for another six bad eggs. We're just shifting things into another system that's going to be unworkable.
And what makes this new? Because the idea is to cut the liability. I mean, it's costing us so much money. The idea is to have it cost us less and give consumers more options in terms of their insurance. Well, what's wrong with it?
I don't think it's going to do that at all. I think it's going to basically create this large pool of uninsured people who are going to start showing up at the ER because they can't go to the doctor anymore. And it's just going to create more unintended consequences and costs and rationing of care. And it's certainly not going to help the vast majority of working people in this country who are going to be unable to use the tax deductions that are going to just only help the more wealthy people. Mm-hmm. I'm very pessimistic about it working, and there are numerous things within it that are not going to help folks either. Like, for example, if you're injured by a doctor's negligence, they're trying to basically reduce the amount of compensation that you can get
from that injury. And I know, obviously, your book Malpractice is about what's happening in our hospitals, why we are at risk as patients. Dr. Lawrence Schlachter with us here on WILS. When it comes to the actual cost, which doesn't seem to be addressed in either of these systems, your view as a doctor, why is our medical system so costly to us?
Well, I think we have increasing expenses of research and new devices. And, you know, there's also very little control over what procedures are done. Many people do think that a large number of surgeries that are done in this country or procedures are unnecessary and don't need to be done.
Do you agree with that, then?
I do. Okay. I do. I see many procedures, you know, that are questionable and shouldn't be done.
And they're being done why, then?
For the economic interests of the people who are doing them.
So doctors themselves are motivated by some kind of an economic factor in doing the procedures, you're saying?
Yeah, well, if you look at some of the consulting contracts between the medical device makers and some of the physicians, you'll see that, and there's been Senate investigations, you know, that show this, published investigations, that some of the doctors have actually made millions of dollars in consulting fees in, quote, research to show the benefit of the devices that they're testing. And doesn't that sound a little odd?
It does, but who are they testing the devices on?
on their own patients.
Okay. Wow. Okay. That's interesting. And so you're saying testing is in what? It's not somehow fully approved to be used generally, or?
Well, they're basically being tested, you know, to see that they work and that they're safe, uh-huh. which they are. I mean, they are safe and they do work. But you know, if a company like Medtronic is paying a doctor $1 million a year, you know, in consulting fees, what do you think that doctor is going to do when he's faced with a patient who might need surgery and might need a Medtronic product? You know, there's a questionable conflict of interest, you know, that is raised.
What percentage, though, Dr. Schlechter, what percentage of doctors out there would you say are bad or somehow ethically compromised this way?
Well, those are two different questions. In terms of doctors who shouldn't be practicing, it's estimated that it might be, you know, as much as 3 or 4% of physicians are not, you know, up to what they should be. And it's been shown that 3 or 4% of physicians account for about 40 to 50% of malpractice settlements and verdicts, which is an astounding number.
Okay, so and we're talking about with thousands in terms of the number of doctors then?
You know, I'm not sure how many doctors there are in the United States.
Right, but 3 or 4%, and they're the majority of the problem, okay. And, well, let me ask you about that. So when you've got, at Emory, when you were a neurosurgeon in Emory, was it obvious to you who the bad doctors were?
Well, I should make it clear to you that I only trained at Emory. I didn't actually practice there when I finished my residency.
Ah, okay.
So that was 7 years back in the late 70s and early 80s. And then I went out into the community and practiced, you know, at the large private hospitals in Atlanta. Okay. And the answer to your question is yes. It was fairly obvious.
And how was it so? I mean, how could you identify them so easily?
You could basically, I sat on committees where I saw the problems that were, you know, brought up in front of the peer review committees or the executive committees, or patients would come to the office with problems and who had been previously operated or not diagnosed properly by others. So, you know, you have a narrow window. You could see what's going on in your own little area.
Okay. And what do the hospitals do? Once you identify, I mean, it seems like it's fairly obvious at that point. What was the reaction by the hospital?
You know, there's a tremendous tension that goes on between practicing physicians and administrators at hospitals when the physicians don't work for the hospital. So the hospital's in this bind that they want your business. They want you to bring patients into the hospital and operate on them at the hospital. So they're not going to kick you out unless they feel it's just to the point where they don't want you there. So many of the marginal physicians were basically nothing happened.
They were allowed to continue practicing. And was it that they just weren't as talented or skillful as the other doctors were? What was it about them?
Yeah. Yeah, they were not as careful. They had a higher complication rate. They didn't look after their patients as well as the others. And then there were those who really shouldn't have been there, and they were kind of ushered out and maybe pushed out to go somewhere else. Mm-hmm. But they never had licensure problems. Did you see the case of Dr. Dunch in Texas recently?
I did not. What was that?
There's a whole chapter in my book about Dr. Dunch, who is a neurosurgeon who recently got sentenced to life imprisonment in Texas. He's the first physician to be accused of attempted murder with a surgical weapon. And there's a story in the about him being basically pushed out the door from hospital to hospital where the medical board was either unwilling or unable to actually stop him.
Incredible.
And he caused tremendous injury to a large number of patients. Mm-hmm. Now, the Texas Medical Board is no different than the other 49.
Right.
You know, they're not looking to govern or assess the quality of care. That's not their job. in their minds. I think it is, but they're not doing that.
And it's Dr. Lauren Schlachter. Let's have you back on to talk some more. Obviously, it's a topic that's what's going to affect us all at some point as we potentially will all end up in the hospital. The book Malpractice, A Neurosurgeon Reveals How Our Healthcare System Puts Patients at Risk. It's Dr. Lawrence Schlachter here on WILS. Thank you very much, Dr. Schlachter.
Thank you, Michael. Yep.